Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, everyone, to Meta Musings. I'm your host, Misty Garcia, and this is the place where we are going to discuss all things metaphysical, spiritual, and alternative healing and otherwise considered woo-woo topics. And I want to just thank everybody who's joining us live today and anybody who's listening to the replay. And tonight, our special guest is Naomi Lopez, and we are going to be talking about demystifying the mystical tonight. And we're also going to be giving you a chance to call in here in a bit to ask your questions live. And, first, I just want to give you a little bit about Naomi. She is a spirit oracle and modern-day mystic woman who has been communicating with spirit since childhood. She is the creator of the Sacred Calling, where she works with lightworkers in clearing out blockages and in remembering their highest truth. And her hope is to help everyone see that connecting with spirit in all forms is not weird or other or out there or unattainable. So I just want to welcome Naomi. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. Hello, everybody.
Yes. Hello. I'm so excited for tonight's topic because I feel like this is a very important topic to get out there. And we were kind of talking about this before the show started that, you know, with us and other people who are kind of like doing Periscope or working with light workers or are a light worker themselves, we seem to have this confidence with our clients and with other people, but we still have these same feelings. And I think it's important for others to know that it's universal, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to recognize that we only got to the place where we said, I'm brave enough to step forward and do what I'm called to do on this earth, because we went through the process of getting over ourselves, right, and getting over our programmed fears that we have based on, you know, how we were brought up.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that being, especially being American, the culture, the religious culture here is very Christian-based.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know we're going to get into that a little bit, but, you know, and I have a lot to say about that. And I think there's a lot of parallels that we will talk about tonight, that it's really just the way that you think about it, right? It's almost pragmatics. And the dogma of Christianity is really saying that through Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and the light. So I think that's a lot of where the blockages come through, and the fear that if we recognize other forms of spirituality within ourselves, then we are being untrue, or that we're going to lose our connection to God, right? So.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that is something that I wanted to talk about also, because I think you said you were, but I was raised Christian, and part of my education, I went to a Christian school. So when learning about all of these different, you know, spirituality and all of these different avenues to get to this spirituality, it was very fearful for me, because you would go into the, oh my gosh, that's bad. I've always been taught that I shouldn't think about that. I shouldn't talk about that. I shouldn't go there. That's going to take me away from God. So those fears were very real for me when I started awakening to my spirituality.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for everyone to recognize that in reality, there is no separation. For example, you know, how do I say this? everybody's path. It's almost like the Buddhist religion, right? It's almost like all paths lead to God or to your higher self.
Right.
So it's almost like the Buddhists kind of have more of an idea of what that is. It's just that people who are practicing any kind of religion, that serves them, right? There's nothing wrong with that. And in our development of spiritual beings, some people, that's just their station in life. That's what serves them. Being in an organized religion of some sort is what serves their spirit. And that is wonderful and perfect for their development at the time. What happens is when there are those who are in any type of religion that is very structured and the dogma serves them for a certain point, and then they start to feel or awaken, whatever word you want to use, connection to other spiritual practices, spiritual beliefs, or they're having experiences, right, with guides or things like out of body experiences, then they start to really question what's going on. And then that's when they have to deal with the part of their progress where they say, am I going to serve myself and my highest good to really look into this or not? And so I think that's the point where a lot of the fear sets in for people.
Yeah, and I think it can really hinder a person's growth spiritually. It can hold a lot of people back from, you know, moving forward and taking the next step in their spiritual growth and their purpose, really.
And what I tell a lot of my clients or friends that are open to talk to me about this is that the reality of it is that there are only two frequencies that the human body basically vibrates from, and that is a love frequency and a fear frequency. So all other emotions or thoughts that we have are branch out of those two frequencies. Like, this literally can be measured by heart monitors to our body, and the frequency within our body, if we are feeling any love-based frequency, for example, hope, peace, joy, pride, like things, proud of something that you do, all those things are on a certain bandwidth frequency. And anything that is from the fear-based frequency, like guilt, shame, jealousy, hatred, all of those things vibrate from a different frequency. So once you, that was really eye-opening for me. It made me realize that in reality, that any kind of fear that I am feeling is not going to serve me, right? Because, for example, in the Christian faith, and I'm speaking of that as an example because that was my experience. I was born and raised in a Christian faith. I was in ministry since the age of six. I went to Christian seminary. And so it's interesting because a lot of the gifts that I use today with my clients are gifts that I use in the church. They just call them different things, right?
Yes.
And I remember when I started to meet people of different faiths, I started to feel God within them. And I started to see that a lot of them, in the way that they lived their life, were more godly than a lot of the Christian people that I knew. And I really struggled with coming to terms with how I was going to feel about, is their faith correct or not? Because if they're not saved, their faith is not correct. But then I remembered a scripture in the Bible that said, by the fruits of my spirit, they will know me, right? God said, by the fruits of their spirit, they will know me. So I said, okay, God, this is what I'm going to do. You show me the way. If I can see you be manifested within their life, then I'm going to know that they are connected with you. And if they're not, then I'm going to know that that is not of you, and that this is not of God, and this is not something that I should pursue. And that was what led me down to the path where I'm at today.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And so you're so spot on. I don't think that I could have ever said anything exact. Like, it was perfect. divinely said.
I feel like I'm in church.
Amen, sister. Amen. So, but yes, I like how you said that you had the same gifts in the church. They were just called different things. And I feel like that is universal across a lot of religions. You see a lot of the same practices, but they're called a little bit differently. Some of them are tweaked a little bit differently. But when you take someone who's raised in that particular religion and that particular practice and culture, and you take them to another one that is practicing something similar, but it's tweaked a little bit, we find it strange or weird. And that's kind of what I want people to understand, is that your neighbor two or three doors down could have some of the same beliefs and views as you, but they're right now in our society, we don't talk about it. There's this taboo of, well, they might think I'm weird, or they might think that I'm not a religious person and that makes me a bad person. And there's this huge taboo. In reality, everyone is having these similar experiences and they're just afraid to talk about it. If that makes sense.
I think that is very true. It's interesting that I found, and if I can tell a story, this might be very helpful for our listeners. But so my grandmother on my mother's side was very, very Christian, Baptist church, and to the point where, and her and I had a very, very close relationship. A lot of people would tease me saying that I was her favorite. But she apparently, I didn't even know this while she was alive, but when she passed away, apparently she had the gift of seeing and knowing when things were going to happen. For example, they said, she would be sitting in the house and she would say, oh my God, there's going to be an accident. And then 2 seconds later, a crash in front of their house. Right. And she would just know things. And I'm like, how come nobody ever told me this? Well, then I find out that many of the people in my family, on both my mother's side and my family, and on my father's side, have these gifts. Right. Mm-hmm. And, but nobody talks about it. So she passed away and I was starting my spiritual journey, and I was feeling very drawn to my Native American heritage and the faith and the beliefs there. And I just so happened to go to a woman to do some energy work. A friend recommended her, and I had never done anything like that. And as I'm on the table, I guess it's similar to Reiki, but it wasn't Reiki exactly. I was sitting, laying on the table, and of course I started to get these visions. Now I understand more what they are because it's what I do every day. But at the time, I was just kind of discovering that I had these abilities. And I literally could feel like seven people walked in the room, right? I opened my eyes, of course, there's no one in there. And then I felt my grandmother, like, standing above my head. And I just knew it was her because it felt like her. Like, yes. You just know because that's the way it feels like when you're with that person. When we were done with the session, the woman asked me, how did it go? And I said, and just jokingly, like, oh, I felt like seven people walked in. And she said, yeah, there were a lot of guides here with her. There were literally a lot of spirits that came in. She goes, there was a grandmother above your head, standing behind your head the whole time. And I was floored. I was like, oh my gosh. So I go home and I'm thinking about this and I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm not crazy, right? This is the thought that we have. I am not crazy. When someone else can confirm to you that they see something that you think you saw, or you think you felt, then you're like, okay, so this is not a coincidence. So what I did is I went to sleep and I just started to talk to her. I was like, okay, grandma, like, I acknowledge. So what I call it is acknowledging, just accepting that is true and that is what happened. That's what I call acknowledging. So I acknowledged her and I felt, what I say now is I heard her say, I don't actually hear in my head like an audible sound. Some people do, but that is not how I perceive spirit. But I heard her say, she like smiled at me and she said, honey, you are on the right path. And I knew at that moment that if my grandmother in this life, how I knew her, was so opposed to anything that was, for example, when I was getting married, we were planning the wedding and I was going to have a champagne toast and she got so mad at me. And she said, you cannot have champagne. I was like, why, Grandma? And she said, because if you do, then you're not a Christian. And I said, okay, Grandma. Like, she was that devout and that strict with her beliefs. And I knew that from the other side, where she is now spirit and with God. So at the time, my understanding was, well, she's in heaven with God. So if she's there and she's telling me that I'm on the right path, then I can trust that I'm on the right path. So
yes.
That's my story.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing. Everybody was like giving you a bunch of hearts and saying aw, and they were getting chills. So that, yeah, everybody really connected with that story.
I think that's important because
yeah. No, go ahead. Yeah.
I think when I'm speaking with my clients, I think it's very helpful for them to know. The reality is that if you can connect with somebody, so for example, I do mediumship, where I can help people connect, or I can see past ones who have passed on. And if they can connect with someone in spirit form when they're on the other side and get confirmation from there, it helps them connect.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes more real for them, right? Because it's something that they can really connect to. And
right.
So I tell this a lot to my clients so that they can know that it's not so crazy or not so mystical. It's through our experiences that we learn, right?
Yes.
We can sit there and we can listen to teachings. We can go to church all day long. We can, you know, we can actually be out in service and helping the poor and doing all this stuff. But it isn't until you actually go through an experience that changes you that you really learn who you really are as a spiritual being. So.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And now I feel like I'm preaching again.
No. So. Before we get started with callers, because I don't want to run out of time before I give your information to everybody, how can people connect with you?
They can visit my website. It's thesacredcalling.com. And on there, they can contact me via the contact page, or they can, and it just goes straight to my email, or they can email me directly, thesacredcalling@gmail.com.
All right. I'm just putting that in the chat room here. And did you want to go ahead and take some callers? It looks like we do have a caller on hold.
Yes, I would love to.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead. And if anybody who's listening right now wants to call in or watching on Periscope, the number to call in is 657-383-0531. And I'll just hold it up here for everybody to see. And if you call in and you're placed on hold, I'm just going to start taking them, you know, first come, first serve. And if for some reason I don't get to you during the course of the show, you can connect with Naomi on her website or through the Gmail. So I will go ahead and introduce our first caller here. Hello and welcome to Meta Musings. Who am I speaking with tonight? Hello?
It's a ghost.
Oh. I guess there was nobody there. So we'll just wait.
Okay.
We'll wait to see if we get another caller in. So now that I've shared, can you tell her this is just awesome? I'll tell, yes, they're saying this is just awesome.
Oh, good. I'm glad they're enjoying it.
And someone else was like, earlier when you said, I felt like I'm preaching, they said, preach, girl, preach. So preach on.
Well, you know, this is awesome. And this is why it's awesome. Because talking about what everybody is thinking and feeling and making it not so like, let the light shine within you. You know, like that's good for some people, but some people, that's just not our thing, right? It's like we're normal people. Everybody's normal. I shouldn't say that. Everyone in their own wonderful way is their normal thing. But for me, you know, it's we're all unique. And for me, I like to make it real, right?
Yes.
So it is awesome,
yes,
just to be able to talk openly about it.
Absolutely. Because, like I said, you can't just go to your job and look at your coworker and be like, so I was going to bed last night and my ancestor from, three people back came to me and was talking about my next step in my spiritual path. I'm pretty sure that my coworker would like jaw drop and look at me like, what? What did you just say?
Mm-hmm. But Misty, consider this. You see that's even a thought process that we have, that we are assuming that people are going to look at us crazy, right? So what if you actually did say something? And then they're like, oh my God, really? That happens to me too, right?
True.
I think
it's
that's
true.
Important for all of us to recognize that we need to start talking about our experiences without fear or shame or guilt coming about us.
Yes.
And now I know that it's a process for a lot of people, and everybody's at different stages of their opening to their awareness. But I think it starts with communication like anything else.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny that you said that, because when I first started, I've been in my position for a year and a half now. And when I first started there, I probably never would have walked up to one of my coworkers and told them any of my experiences that I have spiritually. But the two that sit closest to me, I do. I mean, I don't discuss everything, because there's some things that might be a little too much for them. But I have discussed spirits in my home, and I have discussed, like, for instance, we were talking about grandmothers. When my grandmother passed away, I literally saw her spirit, her soul, about 3 inches above her body when I went to say goodbye to her, because she was in hospice. So I went to go say goodbye to her. And this is before I started accepting and acknowledging things. So as time went on, the more I learned, and then it was kind of confirmation for me that happens, you know.
Correct.
Real, and other people have experienced it. So
right.
It was confirmation for me. I was like, okay, that makes more sense now. But I never would have told anybody that before, because I was like, people are going to think I'm crazy. So definitely.
And I think that goes back to the point, you know, that it's really saddening that, and it's not even limited to spiritual beliefs, right? It's just our culture in general that we are so, like, shameful of things, right? We're shameful to talk about how we really feel. We're shameful to go out of the house without makeup, right, as women.
Yeah.
We're shameful to have emotions, to show your emotions if you're a man. I mean, this is all culturally, like, a cultural umbrella over us. There's a lot that we have to go past on an emotional and mental level to even feel comfortable enough to express yourself in things that are really, you know, like, spiritual and different. So I just want all the callers to understand that it's a process, and not to feel like, put yourself down for not being brave enough. You know, you don't have to go out tomorrow and tell everybody, you know, that you float above your bed every night.
Right.
Little by little.
But yet, finding, even if you find just one person that you can kind of connect with and just share a little bit at a time, it's very uplifting and very freeing, just a little bit at a time if you can't tell everyone.
Exactly. For me, I had a dear friend. Oh, go ahead, honey.
Oh, I was going to say, like, example as for tonight, you don't have to tell us your real name, but you can call in and talk about something, an experience that you want to share, and with me and Naomi live here on the show. So you don't have to divulge who you are, but feel free to call in and talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. So I was going to say that I had a friend, a dear friend of mine, Jessica. Hopefully she's listening. And her and I did what you're saying. I just slowly started to tell her, like, what I was experiencing. And then she opened up to me of the things that she was experiencing as a child. And we actually started our spiritual journey together. So she was my confidant. She was the one that, you know, I would go to, and we'd talk about things. And we went and got our first oracle deck together, you know. And so that's very important to have that support system. A lot of people sometimes reach their spiritual awakening, or they feel like a change coming on when they're, like, in relationships or married. And sometimes that can be difficult if that other person isn't really going through that same process. Unfortunately, a lot of times that happens, you know. It's just very important to be able to find, like, people that are like-minded who can go through the discovery with you.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
with the spouse, it's hard, because sometimes you can be you know, if you're looking at your journey as a book, you can be on chapter 7 and they're still on chapter 4. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It just means that they're not progressing as fast as you are at this time. And sometimes it's part of your spiritual path to separate. You know what I mean? It was part of your spiritual path to be together for these chapters, and now it's time to move on. And that's just something that personally in each relationship you have to decide on whether that's to stay together and work together on that or to separate and move on. You know, and everybody's going to be different, but that is an issue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that as we're talking about relationships, I think for me the most difficult coming out, right, quote unquote coming out a moment was to my family, like to my parents. Because that's the relationship you've been in your whole, you know, for the longest. And they're the ones who raise you into a certain belief system. And when you start to feel like your belief system is different than that, that's where a lot of the fear comes in. And for me, it was the fear of hurting my mother and my father, their feelings, because I didn't want them to feel like, it's not that I do not believe in Christ anymore or that I don't believe the same beliefs that I had. I just had built upon them. So that was the most difficult for me. And that just happened recently, actually. And it took me a long time. And the thing that really encouraged me and pushed me forward to reveal like my true self to them was my daughter, because I have a 5-year-old daughter, and of course I'm raising her, and I'm raising her to be open to her own spiritual gifts and not to exclude any kind of faith or belief. And she does prayers with me. She sees that I have altars that I have up, and I noticed, for example, that she was at the park with my dad, and she found it looked like a feather, but it was a plant, and she brought it home. She was 3 years old. She looked, look, Mom, it's a feather. Let me bless you. And she went and she touched my head and my feet, like I blessed her sometimes with my eagle feather. And my mom just kind of looked at her like, oh, that's sweet. And I said, oh, my God, she's going to start saying, you know, like something, you know, like what I'm teaching her. So I just knew I had to tell my parents, and I just told them, you know, like this is how I feel, and I honor you for how, you know what. It's a long story, but the gist of it is I was brave enough to go ahead and get past my fears and talk with my mother about it. And it was a very beautiful thing, because what I was perceiving was going to be her reaction was not her reaction. She was very, I think that she might still have her feelings, but she was still very accepting of me, because she knows that she did a good job in raising me, you know. So.
Yes, that is probably the hardest for a lot of people. And depending on, you know, how your parents are and how they raised you, it might be easier or harder for some people. That is still kind of an iffy thing for me, because I don't necessarily talk about all of my beliefs with both of my parents. And some of them I share, and actually they're both listening tonight. So obviously I tell them some things. I know I have a podcast. I know I talk about all this stuff. But it took a long time for me even to be open to them about all of this. So, and that's just, it's the fear of, oh, will they be mad? Will they reject me? Will they disown me? You know, all these thoughts go through your mind. Like, what are they going to think? Are they going to think I'm crazy? Are they going to be ashamed of me? So those thoughts do run through your mind when talking about this stuff with your family, especially when you're raised as a Christian and you know that their beliefs are not the same as yours are now. And one thing that somebody talked to me or told me about religion is that they got to the point where they didn't want to put God in a box anymore. And that's how I like to think about it. And because sometimes, you know, organized religion is very constrictive for me personally. And it doesn't mean that I don't believe in God. And it doesn't mean that I don't believe in all of the things that I practice and I learned over the years. It just means that my beliefs have become more expansive, you know, and they just continue to expand the more I learn and grow. And that's the way that I view it now.
Yeah, and that's true. I think that as you were talking, I was kind of seeing something like an example. I think that it starts within us, right? So as we start to open up to these experiences and start to have this dialogue with ourselves, like, am I really experiencing this? Am I really feeling this? And, you know, we're talking about the mystical thing, so mystical type of experiences. We
right.
have to get past the hurdle of our own guilt, our own shame, and our own self-dialogue, right? And then once we're okay with that, that's like the first step, right? Then you're okay with that. You're like, I know who I am. I know what I believe. And then you start practicing how you believe, and you start to see it being real in your life and blessing your life. And then it's like your friends or the coworkers, right? Because you can reveal some things but still safe because they're out of your circle. And then it kind of expands out and kind of, or maybe expands closer into like your family and stuff. So it's the same process, right? It's the same dialogue that you have in your head.
Yes.
It's just the different stages. And then you get to the stage where you're like, okay, my family knows, my friends know, and I'm going to do this for my job full time. I'm going to serve the people. I'm going to serve God's people in this way. And then...
Yes.
And then you got to tell the whole world, and you still have these feelings of like, oh my God, you know, the truth is, who cares? Who cares what people are going to think about you? It's your life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes.
And there's no judgment from me to them. It's their life. Whatever they believe in. Go ahead, honey.
Someone was saying, I just don't want to disappoint them. It's tough. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, is that you don't know if you're going to disappoint them. And the truth is that if they're disappointed, that's just their own fear. Because more than likely their disappointment is fear, because they have a certain belief system. Their disappointment is more than likely fear that, oh my gosh, she's going to go down the wrong path. And so then they're in their own dialogue with themselves. You just don't have to own it. Just don't own it. Because if you continue to own it, then you are going to be miserable.
Yes, and we cannot live for other people. We can't. We're living our own path and our own truth.
But we do it all the time. We do it all the time, and we don't realize that we're doing it because that's what we do. We protect. We want to protect everybody and how they feel at the cost of ourselves, right?
Yes.
Oh,
I do it all the time. I do. I have to remind myself of this daily.
Yeah. Now we're having church again.
Amen. Taking us to church. So if you guys are listening or you're watching on Periscope, feel free to call in and share your stories. Or if you have questions for Naomi, this is your chance, guys. And don't worry if you are nervous or scared to call in. You do not have to give us your real name. Just come up with like a fake name. Say like Betty Boop or something.
Hi, it's me. This is me.
This is me. How are you doing? But yeah, the whole parent thing, I think a lot of times it's almost like fear of what others will think. At least this isn't, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, what will people think? They're not going to think I raised a good godly child almost. I feel like that is in some of the fears that come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think this is the case, actually. I think, you know, most parents will love you no matter what, but it's this societal thinking that just keeps replaying in all of our minds because it's been ingrained in us since we were children, you know, and them as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so.
That's true. I think you know, we're talking now of really how to overcome these fears to really speak our truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not limited to speaking our truth in our spiritual beliefs, right? It's speaking our truth in anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, though, that at least in my experience, there were certain things that I could speak of to my parents in the terms or the terminology or the way I knew they would understand. For example, and it's so funny because my dad has this beautiful prophetic gift. In his dreams, he'll get the voice of God telling him to go walk down the street, turn to the right, turn to the left. You're going to see a drunk man by a bar, and you've got to tell him my message. and he'll do it, and there's it happens, and there's Amanda, right? So he'll tell me the story, and he's like, God is so good, and God, and that's wonderful, right? What a beautiful, beautiful gift. The same mm-hmm. thing happens to me, but the difference is that it's like the dead sister of the woman who is now a light being, right, and wants me to go talk to her, but I'm just not going to use those words with my father because I know that he will not accept that. And so, but I can still share that gift, you know, we our common gift that we have together. I think that there are certain things that are easier to talk about when there's a commonality between what you're experiencing in the esoteric way and whatever faith that you, of the person that you're speaking to. Things, however, that are a lot more quote-unquote out there, right? A lot of things that we are experiencing that is really isolated to esoteric texts and I don't know what the term would be. Like, for example, connection with light beings or ETs or stuff like that. Like those types of things are still, they're not confined. Well, not in modern day religions, but, you know, ancient religions, there are the Native American creation stories. They
right.
they acknowledge mm-hmm. that they were created from the gods from other stars, you know. So
exactly.
it's there if you go back and you read and you learn about history of cultures and faith.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not just the modern day religion.
Right. And even the Greek gods and all mm-hmm. there's actually, you know, Egyptian. All of these historic religions, historic cultures, they did acknowledge them. And it kind of fell away at some point. And we haven't gotten back to that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think
we're coming closer.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, I think when, let me tell you another story. This is was a big aha moment for me. When I was getting my bachelor degree, I took a course in Western religions of the world. And in that, we studied texts of Christianity, Islam, Greek mythology. And I was blown away to see that in the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is a quote-unquote mythology, the story of the flood, Noah and the flood, was the best story of Gilgamesh, except Gilgamesh, Noah was Gilgamesh. The same story, that they built the boat, he built the boat. He even went up the mountain to speak to the oracle, and then when he came down, he was speaking in other tongues that no one understood. It's the same scripture in the Bible. And I was like,
yes.
Whoa, this story existed centuries before it was in the Bible. Like, people mm-hmm. don't know this, right? And as you educate yourself, your mind starts to open up to the reality of the truth of
right.
our spiritual connection. We tell it in story, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that happened to me. And I just realized what I was taught was limited, right? And
yes.
And history replays itself. I mean, religions come about. They're not just forms in which we can practice spirituality. They are also very political, right,
mm-hmm.
and cultural. So, and the
yeah.
way that they come about is based on a lot of those forces as well. And I think once people realize that, then at least for me, it just made more sense that God is God and he reveals himself or she reveals herself in all
mm-hmm.
forms.
Yes.
That might not be what someone that serves someone at that moment for them to believe that way, but for me, that's where I'm at.
Right. And I think that learning, no matter what religion we are, to honor that, to honor those that want to acknowledge God in that way, to honor that space and to honor their decision, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that it's okay. And it doesn't mean that we have to think it's weird or judge, or we can honor that and be one as human beings and loving to each
mm-hmm.
other no matter what our beliefs are.
Right.
That's just acceptance.
Right. Acceptance comes from love, right?
Exactly.
And judgment
yes.
comes from fear. So
yes.
just recognize that anytime that either you are putting judgment on yourself, you are putting doubt on yourself, or you think that someone else is going to do that to you, or if someone is actually judging you, that they're just being fearful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just that simple. You know, it really is just that simple. I know.
Yeah,
now I feel like
is.
I'm preaching again.
No. No.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it. And I had a thought, and it just floated right out of my mind. I hate it when that happens. It'll come back to me.
I want to speak to a caller.
I know.
Let's manifest a caller.
You know you want to. You know you want to call in and speak to Naomi. I'm gonna share the phone number again. Come on. You know you want to call in. You have some kind of cool experience that you haven't been able to share with someone, and you're really antsy. You want to talk about it, and you have a question that you haven't been able to ask someone. Just call in. It's that simple.
Yes.
It's a toll-free number. You don't have to give us your real name. You don't have to tell us where you're calling from if you don't want to. And just share and ask questions. She can answer so many questions. Naomi is amazing at working with her guides as well as your guides to answer your questions for your highest truth. So I would encourage you to take advantage of this special opportunity and call in.
You're so kind, Misty.
Hold the number up. Yeah. So there's the number for you again. And we've got about 18 minutes, so we should be able to take a couple callers before the end of the show. And if not,
caller,
then Naomi and I.
Caller.
Yes, callers. You know you want to. But this topic has still been really fun. Yeah, call in. Rebecca was like, I could call in. Oh, she can't. Why can't you? I'm reading the comments in Periscope. Yay, we have a caller, so let's connect to the caller.
Okay.
Welcome to MetaMusings. You're live. Who are we speaking with? No? Oh, wait. Okay, here we go. Thank you for calling MetaMusings. And you are live on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Amy.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome. Thanks so much for calling. So do you have a question for Naomi?
Okay. So I'm going to tell you a story that I don't know whether to believe it or not because it's way out there. Okay. So I'm on depression meds, supposedly, and when I'm off them, I can communicate. I think I'm a medium. So one time when I was off my meds, I was standing in my backyard, and I was trying to communicate. I had just got done reading the book, Memoirs of Cleopatra. So I was like all fascination with her. And I was like, okay, I'm off my meds. I'm going to go out and I'm going to try to contact her. So I go out, I stand out there, meditate and everything. And I actually hear this voice. I like opened it, you know, my eyes. I'm like, no way, you know?
Did you hear it audibly or like in your mind you perceived it?
It wasn't me. I mean, but it was in my mind, if that makes
sense. Okay, great. All right.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I think I did it. And she said, what would a fat peasant like you want from me? And I was like, oh, my God, like, who would say that? And I, like, totally shut down from there. I'm not a fat girl, you know, but I'm not skinny. But it was like, the holier than thou. But I'm like, did I make that up in my head?
I'm like, so what was the response that you got back?
That was the reply I got back from her, and that, like, she completely, like, I was completely devastated, like, completely and utterly devastated. So,
okay, let me tell you what's going on.
I must have been smoking crack or something. So,
okay, so let me tell you what's going on. First of all, my dear, I'm glad that you called in, because a lot of people medicate or go to medication, and it doesn't need to be prescription, right? We do it with food, we do it with alcohol, we do it with drugs, whatever. We do it with sex.
Right.
Any kind of thing to take our mind away from these experiences that we're having. Many, many people who are on medication for mental issues, I mean, some of it is, you know, needed, but you obviously say you think you know you're a medium because of these experiences that you've had before this experience with connecting in your backyard. I believe that you definitely have the ability to connect. However, your self-fear, your doubt was, you were basically manifesting your own voice back to yourself, right? Does that make sense? You have the ability to connect.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Because I can.
You have. You definitely. Okay. Yeah. So you just need to accept it. That is your gift. That is your gift, darling. And once you start to accept it, you will no longer have, it's little by little, but just one step at a time. Once you start to accept it, you will no longer be fearful. And then you won't have this dialogue in your head. I do not believe that any ascended master or spiritual guide would say anything negative to you. If never been that experience, because in the spirit form, they do not vibrate off the fear frequency. It will be pure love. And you will actually feel such a strong love and connection to them because they are pure love and light. So,
well, good, because I didn't feel any love.
Right. So that, I think you were just literally manifesting your own fears were being manifested in your mode or in your medium of hearing from spirit, and you were basically hearing your fears back to you. And what happened with that? You were discouraged, and then you stopped progressing, right? You were devastated.
Oh, yeah, because I just completely shut down. I was going to do, you know, bath salts, and I was doing really good and getting into kitchen witchery and stuff like that. And then I started, and then I just totally, just completely and utterly after that, just completely shut it off. Completely.
Right. And so is that for your highest good?
Probably not.
No, definitely not, right? So that's another reason. That's another reason.
I was actually really good at the whole kitchen witchery, and I was really good at some of that stuff.
And
so.
You still are. I want you to start today, tomorrow. Just pick it up again, honey.
Yeah. But that's
and
my story.
I'm really glad that you called in. Thank you. And please trust me. I would love to talk to you more about this.
Yeah. Well, I pop in and out on Periscope, so. But thank you guys so much for listening to my story and not laughing at me.
Oh, no. Thank you so much for calling, Amy. That was awesome. I loved it. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks.
Bless you, Amy.
Bye.
We're going to take the next caller now. Thanks, Amy. Bye-bye. All right. So the next caller's up. Are you ready, Naomi?
Yes.
We've got about 11 minutes. So this might be the last call, depending on how long it takes. So we'll see, guys. All right. Thank you for calling MetaMusing. You're live. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Courtney. Do you have a question
Courtney.
For Naomi?
Hi. Yes, I do. I have a question for her.
My dear Courtney.
How are you, my dear?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Good. You're so sweet. I just was asked, wanted to call in. I don't know if you had any thoughts or feelings or, you know, ideas about Catherine having sort of a dizzy kind of a thing going on. And I just wondered, I thought it was vertigo, but I don't think it's vertigo. And I just wondered,
my older daughter. I'm really glad that you called in just for the callers. Courtney and I are going to, well, her daughter and I are going to have a session in regards to this, and I'm glad that you called in so everybody can hear about this. What I believe it is what we call ascension symptoms, okay? So she is very gifted, and what happens is, okay, so this is kind of a deep conversation, deep topic.
Sure.
Right, so we are all light beings, right? We are all spiritual beings experiencing a human existence. So as we're in a time where a lot of us are being pulled and pushed to really open up to who we really are as spiritual beings, a lot of times our body cannot function in the same way that it used to before. And so we have these symptoms, these bodily symptoms. A lot of them can be vertical. I believe that she is, hold on, I'm tapping in. I believe that she has a gift to hear, so clairaudience, and also to kind of travel through dimensions. And because of that, and her spiritual vibration is literally changing. So her body is feeling dizzy, and because if she goes to the doctor, right, and they can't say that that's what it is, then she's actually just experiencing the symptoms of this thing. I mean, I've had many symptoms as of late.
Right.
And they have changed. They have changed through the years, based on how much more connected I am with spirit and different things that downloads that I'm in communication I'm getting from spiritual beings. So that's what I think it is.
Wow. Okay. That's
and so I would love to talk with her, because of course when I do talk to her I'll be able to see exactly what's going on, and it'll be wonderful. But I'm so glad that you called in, because I think a lot of us are experiencing different weird things that we can't pinpoint, right? That just don't make sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there has to be a new way for us to look at it, because we're ignoring a part of our energetic field, which is our spiritual and energetic bodies, and it is a real part of our being. So
wonderful. Wow, that's amazing.
I love you, Courtney.
Oh, you're so sweet. You're
so sweet.
Can't wait to see you someday. Can't wait to see you someday.
We'll see each other someday, dear.
Oh, thank you. Love to you. Blessings to you.
Thank you
so much for calling in, Courtney.
You bet. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, awesome. So if you guys are still having like a quick question, we have about 8 minutes left. 7 minutes left, so we might be able to fit one more quick question in if you want to call in really quick. I'll hold the number up again. But this has been really fun, Naomi. I'm so glad that you're able to join me tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited. I hope we can do this again. There's so much we could talk about.
I know. I feel like people just needed to kind of warm up to the idea of calling in, you know? I feel like everybody was a little shy at first. So we'll definitely have to do it again, and then people will can come out of their spiritual closet.
Yeah, we'll have to pick like one topic and just talk all about that.
Yes. Well, somebody earlier, and it actually ties in really well with the last caller. I think it was Rebecca, actually. We were doing a scope and talking about doing a podcast on gifted children, which I think would be a super awesome topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
that
would be a great topic, and maybe we can connect, you know, later on to set up a time for that, because I have four children and you have a daughter, so we definitely can connect with mothers that have kids. So my daughter's pretty gifted too, so I've experienced a lot of things with her. It's pretty interesting.
There are a lot more there are a lot more enlightened beings that are coming into this world now in our children. And I am also a speech-language pathologist, and I work with children who, you know, can't communicate anywhere on the spectrum, but especially a lot of the severe autistic children, I literally have been able to get them to communicate by first connecting with them on a spiritual level, or you might want to call it like telepathy, right? If you want to go there.
Exactly.
And so there's so much on that topic. There are a lot of children that I work with that I can instantly see their gift in them. And it's actually manifesting in quote unquote disorders that they have. So that would be a great topic to talk about.
That would be a great topic. So I'm definitely going to follow up with you on that one. somebody did ask on Periscope, how can they improve their connection with their angels and guides?
I think the easiest, so this is a common question. I think that the easiest first thing is that you have to allow yourself to trust yourself, okay? So if I could say an easy way to do it is the way that it was easy for me, so I think it's very helpful for other people to do it this way. I literally sat down on my couch one night and I said, okay, I'm going to try to connect. I got a piece of paper and a pen, and I said, okay, and I acknowledged, right, like, I want to connect with a spirit guide. And then whatever thought came to my head or whatever I quote-unquote heard, right, it was just a thought. I wrote it down. So I wrote down river, pink, Quila, like random things, and they made no sense to me, like no sense. And I'm like, okay. And then I said, thank you, I trust, right? You just have to trust, because that doesn't make any sense. And then I just, again, I was observant, and the next day I did it again. And then I started to see, like a month later, like I saw that someone took me to a river, and we started to talk about spiritual things. And I was like, oh my God, that's what I was told, right? So yeah. I think that's an easy way to connect. Some people, you'll see it written as automatic writing. They call it automatic writing. So it's just writing down what you're hearing. So what that does is you're actually taking out your cognitive process of writing it away in your head or rationalizing it, and you're just writing things down. It's just there on the paper right away. And so then later on you can go back and visit it. And I think that's a pretty easy way to start connecting more with them. I'm not sure how much time we have, but
we have about 3 minutes.
Okay. So you can also pay attention to subtle feelings.
They said they mean connecting more telepathically.
Oh, telepathically.
Yeah.
Interesting question. If someone's asking that question, it's probably that they have felt as though they could read people's minds, or that they were thinking something and someone called them, something like that. So if that's the case, that's something that I'm actually trying to figure out more myself. I don't really have an exact answer. If that person would like to contact me, I can definitely sit down with them and see what comes to me, and I can get information from their guides and see things that way. But in general, for me, connecting, so I understand communication because that's my profession, and I teach that to people. So with these children that are autistic, and they don't have what's called joint attention, so they don't even, like, pay attention to you when you're looking at them or calling their name, what I would do is I would just sit there, and I would change my energy, and I would just breathe, and I would be calm. And then they would look at me. And then in my mind, I would thank them and just basically send them love is what I would do. And then little by little, I would get a reaction from them. So I wouldn't necessarily say, like, we have this, like, great conversation, right? But I think that's the first step. I think the clue might be to really change the vibrational frequency in which we are allowing our bodies to be a state of being, you know? I think that's step number one. So
that's an amazing thing to end on. We've only got like 3 seconds. So I want to just thank you again for joining me, Naomi. And thank you so much for everyone who's on Periscope and anyone who called in and is on live or listening to the replay. I will see you next week. And I hope that you all have a beautiful night, and take care. Bye. Thank you, Naomi. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful
evening. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.